KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Everybody, this is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
Can you hear the excitement in my voice, guys?
There's so much excitement. This room is about to explode with all the excitement.
There is so much explosion going on. We have extra people in the studio today. Of course, we've had Josh in the past. He's back here looking clean and healthy as ever. I think thanks to the shaving that he must have done today. So that's fantastic. But on top of that, we've got Danny Baranowski. Did I say that right? I got that right?
That is right, and I am on top of Josh.
Fantastic. That's got to hurt.
And and he's a video game music composer.
We even said that he would be on the show this week.
That's
see
right.
How we keep our promises.
That's right. We come through just like professionals.
I have so many reasons to be excited. I can't begin to explain to you.
Even beyond the mess of a brownie that you're fondling on the table
right
now?
Dude, that's another reason I didn't even think of it. So at work, they get certain vendors in to feed us, and they just changed it.
And one of them is apparently Brownie Mistakes, Inc.
No, this is fantastic, dude. Cream cheese brownie?
Oh, is that what they call
it? Don't tell me you don't all want a big old hunk of this.
Yeah.
It's mine. My chest hurts right now.
You can keep calling it cream cheese.
It's for that whole diabetes thing. People tell me I'm on my way to get diabetes, and I want to get
there
in record time.
There you go. Okay.
That's an accomplishment for me. So, moreover, though, forget that. Forget that we have an incredible guest today. We also have an incredible guest next week. More of that later. You know how much I love
Never
Catan.
Heard of him.
How much what? You love to talk?
Catan. Yes. Catan. Yeah. Anybody who follows me on Xbox Live sees that I'm always playing. It's usually someone else playing on my machine, but you see me playing a lot.
Okay,
what
so
have I been playing a lot lately, Rich?
Has it been you, or is it...
Oh, it's all me, baby.
Okay,
Two days straight. Civilization Revolution. Yes.
Or is it Revolutions? I don't know if it's plural.
It's singular, but a bunch of people are incorrect when they write about it. And
so wait, let me guess.
I'm interested in finding out how you started playing this game.
I'm so close to shutting your mic off, and we're not even 2 minutes
all right, we're
into
all
the
show.
I'm asking him a question.
We're talking over each other. Let's stop that. So what were you going to ask, Ara?
I forgot.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, he was going to ask me how I get into it. Now, I don't recall you ever telling me about Civilization.
I told you about Civilization before.
But I have played it in the past, back when it was just called Civilization, not number 1 or 2 or 5. It was just Civilization for the PC. Now, we're talking like when I was 10 or something.
One.
Yes. But they didn't call it Civilization
Obviously.
1 or with some sort of numeral. Do you see the humor I'm going for?
I see what you're saying.
Thanks. I might not be funny, but I try. So Civilization I played a long time ago, 10, 12, 13, however the hell old I was. And I remember it being this massive, amazing game, but I never really got into it enough. And then
the makers of Ebony also remember Civ quite
yes,
well.
Yes, of course they do. So then comes along this Games on Demand service, which doesn't serve so much to give me games, but to give me advertisements for games that I could buy. That's the important part. So it was nice and colorful, that little thing on Xbox Live. And I think, you know what? I should totally try that. I bet there's a demo. So I try it. I have no idea when it even came out. I mean, I do now. It came out last year sometime. So I try out the demo, and I go, wow, this is pretty awesome. I have no idea if it's like Civ 4 on the PC, if it's just
very different, but it's still a lot of fun.
Some things people said online made me think that it's a similar game. Like, oh, well, I have it on the PC, so I don't need it on the Xbox.
It's a different game.
I imagined it would be a watered-down version, like with more 3D and more like hokiness and less like strict sim stuff going on.
Yeah, Civ 4 is a lot more like very nitty-gritty, tiny little details that you can get into.
Well, since I haven't tried it, I can't tell whether or not I'd like it more. But what I can tell you is Catan is awesome. It's all about like settlements and overruling.
Yes, I was just about to ask, so what does this have to do with Catan?
Yeah, so you sort of rule your area, and you're competing against other rulers or settlers. Catan, awesome. Civ Revolution, way cooler. Right?
Because there's hold on. Am I getting this right? You actually like something more than Catan?
Right? Now, maybe that'll change. And I haven't played multiplayer yet. I've only been playing single player. Civ Rev, you can play multiplayer, but I haven't done it yet. So Catan is great because it's a multi-person game, and don't even bother playing single player on.
Does this mean that you've like broke off communications with the Catan developers that you were so enamored with?
I still want to talk to them because it's a fantastic demonstration of folly in game making because of all the bugs.
But now they feel maybe they feel like you've left them for, you know, the newer, hotter simulation.
Maybe. I don't know. And there are certainly things about Catan that are good. Like, you can play in 45 minutes, whereas Civilization Revolution campaign takes me like a day. So I normally don't like to invest that much time in a game, but it's the sort of thing that, well, I've liked it a lot. So I'm very excited.
Sounds good to me. We'll wait a few weeks before signing you up with the video game rehab program.
Okay. Take as much time as you want, because I'd like to take as much. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of time to play. But if our listeners out there have it or want to download it, I am staunchly against digital downloads, but I don't care what you do with your money. So play against me.
Speaking of digital downloads...
Yes.
Have I got a story for you guys?
Cool, but hold on to it. So I want people to play with me this Civ Rev game. So you should get it, Rich.
Everyone
else should get it. And then tell me, and then like I'll dedicate a Sunday as long as we plan in advance.
I have a question, though. When you play,
yes,
are you like building up your army and attacking peoples?
Well, as you might guess, I'm more of a scientist.
Yeah.
But the problem is, when you're just a scientist and you don't realize you have to barricade your cities or fortify them with people... The other folks, at least when you crank up the difficulty, will attack your ass.
Yeah, they attack a lot.
The first time I played, I didn't even realize what difficulty I was in, but it was in the easiest, so it was just a walk through the park. But it was a good practice round because I learned how the game works and the different technologies and what they do and, you know, all that good stuff. So now I'm playing it in the middle difficulty of 5, and the other guys actually matter, and they're attacking me, and they're taking over my cities, and then I have to fortify and take them back, and... But I've almost got tanks, man.
Losing cities and then taking them back is the worst experience ever. Because you, like, start over the whole city.
Exactly. It's lame because you figure all this time is wasted if I just fortified it better to begin with.
Exactly.
Like, but then you wouldn't have the science like, that you
have. I built the granary and this and that, and I was all the way up to the police department, and then it went away, and
there's
now...
no police department in Civ Rev. All right, for whatever. The record.
Are you guys ready for some insider news?
Sure. You want to take me away from...
Coming, yes.
My gluttonous enjoyment of Civ Rev?
Yeah, a little bit.
I want people to play. Chatterbox Alon is the Xbox Live ID. If you want to find me or talk to me, Cbox Alon is my Twitter.
Please play with him online. Put him out of his misery.
Please. Cbox Alon on Twitter. You find me. We'll have a wonderful time.
All right. So
I like this girl in the back there. She's always laughing at everything we say.
This is good. It's good to have that.
Danny, this is your sister, you say?
Yeah, she has mental stuff.
You don't just pay her to be like a posse?
She's actually my chauffeur. She answers to Walter.
Okay. Well, cool. I'm a big fan of Walter.
Not everyone has this luxury of having a chauffeur who laugh at all your jokes.
Big smile. It's good.
It's good times. Okay. So
she actually doesn't speak English.
All right. Even better. Then I must just have a funny face.
Okay. So
what is this insight you want to give us?
So getting back to things, our good friend Joe, one of our fans.
Joe,
you know, Joe, our fan.
Not Fopo G Joe.
No, just regular Joe.
Just Joe.
Sent us an email. Actually, send me an email. Didn't send you an email. But
it's possible.
Apparently, there's this GameStop is doing this secret thing in select cities. They're actually
not so secret anymore.
Well, right, yeah. Also, not a secret in the cities they're doing it in. But anyway, I digress. They're trying this test. I guess they're test marketing this thing where when you go to buy a game, the GameStop employee will say, "Oh, you're buying Grand Theft Auto 5, would you like to also buy this downloadable content at the store at the same time?" And so supposedly now, in some places, you'll be able to actually do a Xbox Live online transaction at the store, which...
For your account, or just get the points with the card and the redemption
code? For your account, which like makes no sense to me, because I'd be like, all right, cool, thanks for letting me know about that. Maybe I'll do it when I get home.
Yeah.
And then, apparently, like, you give them your username, and then you give them the money, and then you go home and wait to download it.
So they're making the checkout process at GameStop even longer.
Exactly.
Last time I was in there, I got hit with 4 upsell in a row.
That's exactly what it is.
Four times.
It is. They're trying to find new ways of upselling you, which, of course, I have just no end of rage.
Dude, speaking of GameStop, that's where I bought Civilization Revolution. Only
how much,
because
of the upsell?
How much did it cost?
Retail, it's the same price as the digital download, $29.99. I got the used copy only because it was the only one available. So I checked like Fry's, Walmart, GameStop number one, referred me to GameStop number two. I called GameStop number three because I liked it better than number two. But I ended up getting a copy that was actually really good condition.
Yeah, so here's the way that thing I think would work, is if you could actually haggle with the GameStop employee. You know, so be like, hey, you want to buy that horse armor? It's only 800 points. 800 points, I don't know. How about 650?
How about 600?
Yeah. How about, you know, like 632 and a half? You know, I'm sorry, sir. We don't do half points.
Honestly, it would make sense to give them a discount upon purchase of the game.
Well, that's the thing. Like, that will only work if you give the buyer some kind of incentive, something.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of incentive, downside to my purchase of the used game, it had the card in it to give me the free, like, mythic pack, which is a bunch of wonders that you can get. You can build, like, ancient wonders and modern wonders and stuff. So it had the card. I suspect it was unused, but when I tried to use it online, it said it was invalid. So either it's because it's a year old and they don't like it anymore, or somebody used that code, downloaded the content, never played the game, and then sold it to GameStop.
But here's the other thing. I have a theory. There's a theory germinating in my brain right now.
I never like things germinating inside of you.
I think it might be because a lot of the people who are selling these products online think that there's a huge population of people who don't know, they're not like even technically savvy enough to know that there's stuff they can download and buy online. And I'm thinking that they're trying to access this segment of the market. And this is evidenced by completely unrelated event where apparently the Geek Squad at Best Buy is offering to install your PS3 for a nominal price of $129.99.
It's the Best Buy Mafia.
No, that just means go to your house and hook the cables up.
Yes, go to your house and... No. Not just hook your cables up, my friend.
Create a username for you?
Also, no. Come on, don't let's not get crazy here. Installation of the latest firmware updates. That doesn't take 2 seconds to find the menu of. But wait, there's more.
No, but they would have to wait there an hour while it downloads.
That's probably it. Setup and configuration of... local user accounts with parental controls. Okay, that's a big plus there. And the setup... Oh, no, you're right. Setup and configuration of one online account.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's the premium service there.
For $130,
there.
That truly $130 is fantastic.
Bucks. Yeah. You get to sit on their lap while they do it.
Plus tax. I sure hope
Honestly, though, I mean, look at the percentage. You're looking at, what, almost 50% of the price of the PS3
just to
install it?
How did they come up with this number? Like, how much should we charge for this? $30? No, how about $130?
That doesn't come with, like, 3 years of protection or anything?
No, it comes with nothing. It comes with nothing.
That's fascinating. This tell anybody in the Phoenix area, I will do that for the nominal fee of $9.99 and a handshake.
Yeah,
no handshake zone. H1N1. Just a knuckle pump or whatever.
I guess they're getting enough of a kick out of selling HDMI cables for about like $6,000.
you can blame that on Monster.
Over the price that it's supposed to cost.
I was going
to
compare this to the cost of cheese on a hamburger, but this is far more expensive relative to the original unit.
And
cheese is only like 10 or 20%.
Cheese tastes better.
It's like another hamburger on the cheeseburger.
Yes.
And that hamburger costs
$130. But that appeals to me.
It's like an upgrade to a triple-triple or something.
There you go.
All right, well, we'll be back right after this talking to Danny Baranowski.
You got it.
Totally got it right. Second time. We'll be right back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader. KFNX, AM 1100.
Minibuses. And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio featuring the vocal stylings of Danny Baranowski.
Minibuses playing music from Nintendo.
Fantastic.
Is that your South Park reference? Or just... You.
I don't know.
Okay. Good. Well, I sang earlier, sort of.
All right.
Before we go into our second segment, I always, always mention our fantastic sponsor, the University of Advancing Technology, and you can learn more about them at uat.edu. See how I slow down for that part? uat.edu. before we get also to the guest, we were talking about digital downloads, GameStop. Just real quick, when I was in the GameStop the other day, the number one referring to number two where I could actually buy it, they had a sign somewhere. I mean, they have a million signs in there, so it's hard to keep track of them all.
Right.
But one referencing digital downloads. And I know that you can download from their website. So they seem to be pushing that in store, too, because they see the big old elephant in the room that says they're not going to exist much longer when digital downloads take over the world.
No, that's a good point.
Much to my chagrin. All right, so we have a guest, Danny Baranowski, music guy. Next week is our teaser. We have a fantastic guest as well, possibly not as awesome as Danny, but close. Anthony Birch, Rev Anthony, Reverend Anthony, even from. Do we say that he's from Destructoid or just friends of Destructoid?
I mean, he's from Destructoid as far as I know.
But he's sort of become independent now with all of his wealth and power.
It's like his hometown.
Like Hop is on like Game Tours and stuff, but like he's mainly Destructoid.
I guess they put up little flash things.
He writes stuff and does videos for Destructoid.
There you go. So from Destructoid, but awesomer than your average Destructoid user. He's going to be here in studio, in fact. At least that's the plan. You never know. People have told me they'd be here and they didn't show. But he has said that he would in an email from his email account. So
yay. we're going to stick our personal army on him if it does work.
Well, it's a small army. This room right now is double the normal size. So, works anyway, Danny.
Yo.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I was the inspiration for Fat Princess.
For what?
Fat Princess.
Oh.
Little known fact.
I believe it.
You know, I've only played that game at some show or whatever, like E3 or GDC or one of those. It's hard to play when you only have a few minutes. You can't sit there from the beginning explaining what to do.
It's anyway. Rough.
So, all right.
I do like cake, though. So, there is a similarity there.
Is it brownie? Mine. So, since you have a very interesting story of yourself, I'm going to ask Ara why Ara insisted that you come on the show. And maybe I'll get the more dry, less interesting version than the cake.
Well, it's just natural that an awesome show has to have awesome guests, so...
Yes.
Let's actually talk about some interesting things, right? So, I don't know, why don't you tell us about, like, what are some projects you've been working on lately? And then, you know, basically, like, how did you get started doing this? Did you always do video game music? Or
Hang on, we haven't established what this is. All I know is that you like cake.
Look, the psychic channel is open. Our listeners should be able to be psychic by now. They've probably listened to about four other shows that are all about psychics before this one, so I figured.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So I know it's something to do with music.
I'm a video game composer, unabashedly.
Video game.
Prove it.
Music composer.
Video game music composer.
Fantastic. Where may I have heard your compositions?
I started years ago at Overclocked Remix. I don't know if everyone knows what that is, but it's a remixing website.
Please tell us.
I have heard of it, but that's the extent of it.
Yeah. I started there years and years ago and then just started... you know, I was that kid that was just, you know, on Kazaa and Napster looking, you know, typing in Final Fantasy Remix and, you know, listening to the Prelude with a 4-on-the-floor dance beat under it. And, you know, I just went from there, found that site, and then just through the people that I met on that site, eventually started getting into some music programs and got some remixes up there, some Perfect Dark, Castlevania, you know, the classics. And from there, just met people who... New people, and eventually I got hooked up with Adam Atomic, who's
in love with me, by the way. I just have to say this.
Yes.
He
talks about...
I don't know why, but he... Well, it's a valid question.
Well, it's Adam Atomic. He's an indie darling, if you will. And he showed me a game called Gravity Hook. And I said, well, it needs music. And he said, I don't think I'm going to put music in this. And I think my... exact words were, F you, I'm going to write music anyway. That's how I started my career, by swearing at somebody and demanding that
that's
I score
not so
it.
Rare.
And that's really the best way to do it, honestly.
But yeah, he dug it. I put it in, put a few tracks, and then that opened up for me to go to TIG Jam, the pre-party or whatever, up in Fountain Hills. And I met a bunch of indie people, and... Dan Tabar of Data Realms, who did a game called Cortex Command.
I used to actually work with him at Rainbow Studios.
Yeah, he's a frightening... He's a Swedish libertarian. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life.
So far, this scares me because not a single person or game or a project that you've mentioned is something that I've heard of.
It's indie, man. We're so indie. We're, you know, we live under bridges and take out striders with rocket launchers.
Right on. I just see you giving me the Z snaps. Like, dude, you're too cool.
No, actually, why don't you tell us a little bit about TIG Jam, because it's more familiar to Alon than
And is that
he
an
knows.
Acronym?
The Independent Game Source. And TIG Source is the website.
Yeah,
the
and it
website.
Sounds it sounds much more disgusting than it really is.
All right.
Do you know Flashbang Studios?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so they were all there too, so I got to meet all them. I did the music for Blush.
Are you the Danny guy that Flashbang always talks about?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's cool. Then I've heard of you.
Okay.
Separate
so, yeah.
from this.
I did Blush and I did
Dude,
Time
Doggy.
They talk
about you all the time.
I know.
They are in love.
I mean...
With you?
I don't think I've ever had pants on at their office.
Psh, why would you?
I
just
believe
doing pull-ups left and right? No pants.
No. Pulling the bar down, maybe.
No pants pull-ups are the best way, because then you get right up to their head level with the knot and the stuff and the...
You have a lot of experience with this. I see.
I'm just telling you, that's the way to do it. No pants pull-ups in the Flashbang offices. You get a flash and a bang.
I really don't know how to respond to that, honestly.
So Tig Jam.
Tig Jam. The new one, next one's coming up, October, early October. It's just a bunch of indie people.
Yeah, you don't
together.
Know this, but we're going to try and crash that party.
Yeah.
And they don't know it either.
I think you told me something about that.
Oh, okay. So you do know it and you forgot.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's, yeah.
Unless you're talking about crashing yet another thing.
Well, as long as there's crashing involved.
Okay. Yeah. Moving right along.
Yeah. But basically right now, the big one right now is Cannibalt. I don't know if you heard of that one, but it's essentially a...
Josh just gave you the thumbs up, so I should have heard of it.
Yeah, that's a thing between us.
Okay.
And now he's getting the arms open and the shaking of the head.
I'm going to steal Rich's mic for a second here. Cannibalt is a great game.
Thank you.
It is,
that's
it
all
is
I need
fantastic.
To hear.
Thank you.
One button is
one
all
button.
That's required.
It's like an 8-bit... inspired parkour free running kind of game where you're just jumping from rooftop to rooftop. It's about a guy in the near future who is running from Obama's death panels.
Right on.
I'm just kidding. You can't run from the death panels.
So I imagine not only is there one button, but there's also a certain amount of timing involved.
Yeah. You got to jump from thing to thing and you run into like washing machines and stuff and bust through windows and you keep going faster. It's you know, Atom Atomic makes incredibly crazy awesome games, and I just am lucky enough to do music for them, and it's been received really well. I'm just blown away by how popular it is and how well received it is.
The game or your music?
Both.
Right. So it's like the game's good, but that music is real crappy. We got to
it's awful.
There.
Oh, it's there's an accordion, or I think a jug. A guy blowing a jug. But yeah, it's coming to iPhone. Submitted any day now, and then going into the nebulous, crazy,
fantastic,
you know, Apple thing.
Do you know what else is on the iPhone App Store? Give you one
is
guess.
Is it Catan?
No.
Is it Civ Catan Extra Plus?
Civ Revolution, baby. Only $5.
Daisy Fuentes Pilates?
No. Because it'd probably hurt your iPhone if you stepped on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
All right, so you're making the music. Now, at any point, does this pay a bill for you?
Yeah, it's pretty much what I'm doing right now.
Sweet.
Squeezing by.
Man has a chauffeur. Come on.
Well, if Cannibalt does really well, I mean, that's going to be really nice. I mean, you know.
Like $20 million kind of like.
$50 billion. I'm going to buy an island.
At a dollar a piece or something, that's a download per person times 12.
And we really need to have that Atom Atomic guy on one of these.
You do. You do need to have Adam Atomic.
Is he local?
So no, but once when he comes here, because he will eventually, because we know that he will.
Yeah.
We're going to task you with kidnapping him and delivering him to this very studio.
So let me ask you, this collaboration you have with Atom Atomic, is this the sort of thing where you do some work across shores or continents, and then once 3 years into the process, you actually meet each other, or...
You know, I it was just this, I just knew him through Instant Messenger basically, and was working with him, and then, he was in Phoenix for some reason,
the bitches
last year. Yeah. That's
what I go to
Flashbang.
For.
I mean, if you want to call him that, I would. But yeah, then I got to meet him. He came over to my house and, you know, we did things I never thought I would do. And
so things unmentionable on the air.
I have to say, I know we got to go, but, Myron McMillan is another guy I worked with, and I did a game for him called Reflection, which was a top 10 puzzle game on the iPhone, and he was
We've
huge.
Got more time, man. We've got more time. We'll be right back. I'm going to go eat a brownie.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one.
We'll be right back.
take that on, but low. Mm. Very low.
That's cool. Maybe we should see how long we can have this on before it gets annoying.
It'll fade away.
It never gets annoying.
It'll fade away after a minute or so. That actually is kind of nice. So this is music from Cannonbolt.
Cannonbolt? Yeah, really, I have no idea.
You don't even know.
He said it's how his nephew pronounces catapult, which apparently translates into...
Catapults, which are in Civilization Revolution, by the way.
Oh, my God. That's almost pathological, dude. Military weapon. I don't know. Like, I know a really good counselor.
Just thought I'd mention it. But I don't make any friends at 2K Games with this, by the way. Especially because they're owned by Take-Two.
You know what? I think that if we talk in a much more dramatic tone, it will go much better. With the background music.
No, because then I have to talk about new agey crap, like vitamins and stuff. Like everything else on this network, on this station.
So, Danny.
Yo.
How do you feel about...
Cannonball.
It's super, super sex.
We have some actual questions. We have questions from the chat room.
I gotta do one thing before that.
Get your shout-outs out of the way.
First of all, I gotta give a shout-out to Super Friend. You know who you are. And I do also have to say... Do I sound like I'm on old-time radio?
Anything else? You were trying to shove something in at the end of last segment.
Oh, Myron McMillan. I did what I had to do.
What I want to do is actually tell people how to get a hold of these things that you've been a part of.
Okay.
And I don't know how to do that, partly because I don't know what this new game is called, which is important to me.
Which new game?
Cannonbolt.
Cannonbolt is cannonbolt.com, cannabalt.com.
That's what I wanted. All A's. There we go. Cannonbolt.
My website is DB Soundworks.
Okay.
Sound,
like Danny Baranowski.
Danny Baranowski Sound, WORKS.com. That has links to pretty much everything I've done.
Was DB Sound already taken?
I just wanted Soundworks. What?
Okay.
You want to jump over this table and make this real?
Listen, as our listeners know, we've got Chatterbox Game Show and chatterboxers.com because we try to make it easy, convenient for our listeners.
You lost me on that one.
There's a fight about to go down.
All right.
In the KFX studio.
So Cannonbolt and DB Soundworks, both with the .com.
Yeah.
And one's coming off the iPhone hopefully soon, as long as it gets okayed.
Yep. Early October.
Okay.
The other big one is Super Meat Boy. Do you know who Edmund McMillan is? I'm doing Super Meat Boy is coming out for WiiWare in January, and I'm doing the whole soundtrack for that. We did a flash game called Meat Boy. It's at Newgrounds.
But that's not as awesome as Super Meat Boy.
You know, it's several degrees of magnitude greater meat.
By the way, everything we're saying has more impact because this music in the background. Can we use this?
And I don't know why.
Go for it.
I have to talk like this every time I hear this music.
Norm, could they hear you say that?
No, I could say that.
Now, you realize, so we just had dead air for like 10 seconds as you talked to me.
What if I read a poem and recorded it, and so like I was reading a poem as the music was playing? Would that overcome that limitation?
No, I think in post I'm going to remove that. So the people who just heard us talk won't have heard that link, but you'll understand that I did it for you so you didn't think your machine was broken or something. Because Norm, sometimes he'll talk to us, right? And we get it in our headphones, and then we can't hear each other talk. But he just talks, and we had no idea. Anyway.
And now, questions from the chat room.
Okay, let's hit it.
Okay, our first question comes from...
From Susie Washington.
No, say it right. Say it right, damn what? It.
How should I say? Our first question comes from Waffle Dude.
Our in the first chat question.
He
comes.
Asks, pancakes or waffles?
Sausage. I know you're gonna have a good answer to this.
Okay. What do you think of shows like Video Game Live? What up? Okay. G asked that question.
Okay, you talking like Video Games Live?
Tommy Tallarico.
Play. Yeah. It's great. Anything really that promotes it. You know, game music. I mean, it's this really weird thing. Game music. It's not really a genre. Like, you can't really say it's game music and like, you know what you're gonna hear. It's not like country music where it has a very specific thing. So it's great that things like this are happening to get it out there because there is a lot of great music in video games.
And really, I hate the stigma that is I like to say formerly associated, well, because I like to forget that there is a stigma, but unfortunately there's still kind of
It's real. It is real and it's current. The thing that pisses me off more than anything is stuff like
yes, that's what I was looking Danny for. Gets
Timbaland. You guys heard about how Timbaland completely just ripped off that Finnish guy?
No, not
a
no,
Finnish
tell
guy
us,
who
tell
goes
us
by
it.
Tempest. I think his name is Jan Suni or some crazy foreign name.
That's probably right.
But
way to give him respect.
He made music for a game on C64, came out a few years ago, and then he had somebody remix it for a free compilation. Timbaland straight up stole the entire song. I mean, they justified his sampling, but he stole the entire song, not just a section of it or whatever. And, you know, the details of whatever, you can YouTube it. You can look up on YouTube, just type in Timbaland and plagiarism or whatever, you'll find it.
So,
but what really got to me and what really speaks to this whole fact that video game music is there is that stigma. People don't take video game music seriously because it's video game music. It's, you know, video games are for kids. What is video game music? Who cares? It's just music and you turn it off anyway, you know? But he was talking to this guy, and the guy was talking about how, like, what about this Finnish guy who says that you plagiarized from him? And he rambled some incoherent response, but essentially he called him a video game idiot. He's like, well, he's a video game idiot or whatever. I don't know. I don't, you know. And it just speaks to how, I mean, this guy made tons of money by taking somebody's hard work, putting a drum beat over it, and having Nelly Furtado sing over it. And because he did that, because he could put a drum beat over it and had somebody sing on it, now it's legitimate music. Now it's pop music. You can put it on the radio and everyone's going to enjoy it. But before that, it was just video game idiot music. You know? You're absolutely right that it's, you know, music is music. The great thing about video game music is that there's almost like no reason for it. I don't know how to say it really, but there's almost like no reason for it to exist. Whereas, like, you know, you write a rock tune, there's a very specific demographic, you know, people who are going to listen to the radio and listen to this or that or whatever. But with a video game, I mean, it's not even like a movie score where you have to highlight individual scenes and emotions, that kind of thing. It's just, okay, I'm a plumber in the Mushroom Kingdom, you know, write some music for it.
It's really, you could even say it's really like the most abstract of maybe even all the forms of music, honestly.
Sure, but I mean, then you get, you know, recently Halo is a good example of game music breaking into the mainstream, because there's a lot of I hear a lot of people saying about how much they love the music in Halo, which it was a great score, you know.
Get an orchestra to help you out, that's
all right. Yeah, I thought it was all right.
You know, and then you got movie like BioShock was a big one for me too. I mean, you know, when people think of video game music, you don't think of
It's no Eastward 2.
When you get a room full of video game nerds and you play them music from BioShock, it was so awesome, nobody recognized it.
Yeah.
No,
but if I can interject real quick, I find it interesting that these examples come up as recognizable and examples of like great video game music when there's actually, at least in my opinion, I mean, obviously subjective, but there's a lot of really, really fantastic, amazing video game music that just nobody knows about.
Sure.
Goonies 2, NES.
I don't know if anybody got that East reference.
Well, that's why,
for example.
That's why Overclocked Remix was so big for me, is it's like, years ago, you know, I found this community where everyone was just kind of like, you know, the mission statement of this place is establishing video game is like a valuable art form. And that's really what it is. I mean, the stuff that Nobuo Uematsu was writing in Final Fantasy is just, it's on par, I believe, with like Beethoven and Bach and all the classics. It's there.
All right, and so I want to speak to our audience for a second before we continue. In response to the question that was given, what does he think of video games live? I think the interpreter response is, I like it as much as sausage.
I'm not wordy.
So what do you really think about video game music?
Do I get to ask more questions? Can I be the official interviewer?
Yeah, we've got 30 seconds left.
We have 30 seconds left. Danny, is that your real name?
No comment.
Can we ask more questions next?
Yeah. Next I'm just because we got to go to break.
But you don't have to ask if we can ask more questions after every question,
Not anymore.
You know what's the best question in the world?
What?
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Love that one.
I love you too.
Yes.
All right. So I'm just gonna start talking again. Yeah, I find it interesting that we use the prefix like video game music, and yeah, it almost tends to be like a pejorative. Like
yes.
Yes. It really is just music. It's music. And it's as legitimate as any other variety. And in a lot of ways, I mean, you could even argue that it has it has a lot more freedom than other, quote, types of music do, because it doesn't really have, you know, like you said, with country, right, you have certain instrumentations, you have certain patterns and stuff like that. And video game music is just music we used in video games, which means that it can be really anything you want. So,
and there is some video game music for our delight.
And there's
video
game music.
So, you know how I know your music was so great? I had to put down my brownie when it started.
If I'm making people put down brownies, I'm stopping right now.
No.
Because I am pro brownie consumption.
Well, luckily, I'm going to finish it now. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and we've got our special guest, Denny the Mauler Baranowski.
The Raging Lithuanian.
I just made that up, that nickname, the Mauler. I don't know. It just seems to fit.
It's endearing.
Thank you.
I'll try not to go on a tirade again. I'm sorry.
No.
You can. It's kind of you, actually, to fill our air. But, you know, I think about you making music for a game, and I think to myself, that's probably something that I could get credits for if I were to attend the University of Advancing Technology.
I know some of the guys from there, the head of the film department, Paul DeNigris and Steve Briscoe, his partner.
I haven't heard of Steve. He must be new, but Paul, I know from way back.
Paul DeNigris, I did Stabbing Stupidity, Envy, and the latest one, Cowboy Dreams. I got to score a short film with Bill Engvall and Danny Trejo in it. That was awesome. So thank you, UAT. I love you.
Were you there when they did some of the filming and stuff?
I did not get to go to that, but I got to go to the premiere at the Phoenix Film Festival. I got to meet Bill Engvall. That was awesome.
Cool.
It was so cool.
I remember hearing one story where like they got the cops called on them because they're filming like a fake bank robbery outside of UAT, and the cops showed
nice.
Up.
Nice, classic.
The cops showed up like 2 hours after they stopped filming, and they're like, yeah, we got some call about like a bank robbery. They're like, yeah, no.
like there isn't even a bank here.
That's hilarious.
It's pretty funny though, because like some guy driving by like saw a dude in a mask holding a fake gun and a money bag like running down the sidewalk.
Wait. Was it like an oblong bag with a dollar sign painted on it?
Like it was just like ridiculous.
That's hilarious. You know, when I ran after a guy with money literally in a bag, right?
You did.
You know that story? Nobody called the cops for me. Well, they did as I ran by yelling, call the cops, right?
Whipping the person with your belt.
The whipping didn't come until after he had pulled the mask off. Great story for another day.
I've got a crazy police story, actually, now that we're on the topic.
Okay.
It'll be brief, but this is good. All right. So apparently somewhere in Polk County in Florida, there was a bunch of cops, right? They got a search warrant, right? So they go to this guy's house at 8 in the morning, right? Nobody's home. They break in. They do their thing.
They stop catching gators for a minute.
They do that, yes. They've got their flashlight. They search the house. They're searching for drugs. They're searching for weapons. They're searching for stolen things. And so they're turning the house over, and they're looking at everything in there, and they're taking stuff out. And then, oh, what's this? Oh, there's a Wii. There's a Wii here in the house connected to the TV. So a couple of the police officers says, You know, searching houses is really hard work, and, you know, we need a break every once in a while. So let's start playing Wii Bowling. And they started playing Wii Bowling.
I heard about this.
And apparently the guy who owned the house had a webcam which was running at the time.
Awesome.
Which
no
means
way.
That there's footage of police men and women, in addition to doing their duties, apparently also spending part of their police time playing Wii Bowling and getting really into it, and apparently this is the kicker here, right?
Tell me he let go of it and broke the TV.
No, nothing like that happened, but apparently there was a task force supervisor, right, was one of them playing bowling, and they were really getting into it. They were, like, cheering, like, pumping their fist, like, and...
I see nothing wrong
This was a drug bust, right?
This was during a drug bust,
I mean,
yes.
Because you have to understand that people who do drugs play a lot of Wii bowling.
Well, this is true.
Don't ask me how I know that.
And apparently cops with search warrants also do a lot.
Well, that is a fantastic story, but really, I see nothing wrong with it.
But it just goes to show you how the Wii is for everybody.
Totally. Including the drug users and the drug enforcers.
Mm. So maybe if you're a criminal and the cops have a search warrant on your house, show them the Wii bowling first when they come in.
Maybe it'll distract them.
They wouldn't be playing if it was a PS3.
All right.
Did I hear you wrong, or did you say drug enforcers?
Whatever.
Enforcement officers, whatever. Enforcing, making people virtually the same thing.
Okay. You'll
be quiet.
I'm just saying.
So I digress.
So what we got going on here?
We got a few minutes left here. I do want to ask you one question. There was I had a gaming experience deeply linked with music recently, as did a lot of us, I think. And it's not that in Civilization Revolution that you can make the music scientific discovery, which actually you can't, which surprises me now that I think about it. There's no music.
Oh, that's interesting.
Crazy, right?
Well, music doesn't help you fight wars or build buildings.
It helps society.
It's that...
You lie!
I got a message on my Xbox Live account saying, hey, I should go try this game called I Made a Game with Zombies in It.
Excellent.
Which I'm sure you've played.
Absolutely amazing.
Now, would you think that game was even half of what it is
no.
if it weren't for the music in that game?
No.
All right, so tell me your feelings when you played
it. I love the game. It's absolutely great. I know my brother's listening right now, and he's probably just exploding with joy because we played that together. And it's literally like the music is, I made a game with zombies in it. And that's it. But it just keeps saying it. And he talks about how the game's only $1, and it's hilarious. And, you know, it's rudimentary gameplay. It's all right. But as the music is changing and everything, it's, you know, there's epileptic seizure material on the screen. It's absolutely,
by the way, totally opens itself up for an awesome sequel with just a different song about making a second game with zombies
yes.
in it. That would be probably half as popular.
Well, it's a very good example of how music can make games.
That's what it was yeah. to me. It said to me that like the music is really the important part here, and people are willing to pay the dollar just for the goofiness of playing a game that is all about the music for a few minutes and then probably
sure.
not playing it ever again. But it was worth it. It was worth $1 to enough people that the kid's making money now.
It's one of the things I noticed, too, that was really poignant recently was I was playing Batman Arkham Asylum, which is a great game.
People say that.
And musical score is absolutely excellent. And the one of the things I realized is that one of the things that a great game score does is in every game there's an amount of tedium. You know, there's things that you do, features within the game that you do that are core to the gameplay, but there's always some amount of tedium. You know, when you're playing Batman, you know, there's these parts where you're fighting enemies or whatever, having a great time, but then you have to, like, walk to the next area or you have to solve a puzzle. And you know, there's this, you know what I mean by, like, the tedium, how there's lulls? Well, they effectively reduced or almost eliminated those lulls by having the music swell up. So, like, you know, after you fight four guys, you take three of them out, and then there's one left. And as you have to walk across the room to get to him, there's like this musical swell, and it starts bup, 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 like Batman Begins style. And it's just, it bridges that gap. And, you know,
so it doesn't interrupt the flow, like, for instance, the sound your cell phone might make during a radio show. It enhances it. It enhances it within the lull.
It's my first day.
All right.
This is a really good point.
I think it's a good thing he's not swearing right yeah. now.
No, you deserve to have your mic turned up because your computer won't shut up.
No,
my computer's not doing
phone.
Anything.
That's your phone?
It's his phone. That's what he right. just said.
I'm still going to blame
speaking
you anyway.
Speaking of poignant. But, yeah.
So speaking of poignant, one of the things that sticks out in my mind the most in terms of what you were talking about was...
Hot Beefy Dudes.
You ever play... No. You ever played like Final Fantasy III or some of the mm-hmm. Final Fantasy games, right?
Yep.
They take I've never actually asked anyone or any of them obviously about this, but it really really seems evident to me that they take very very great care to compose the music that you hear repeatedly, specifically like the battle music.
Yes.
Right. And it's because you hear that so often, it has to be resilient.
Yes.
To being heard over and over and over again.
That since a lot of the games I've been doing recently have been indie and kind of retro, like I'm kind of known as the chiptune guy, which is kind of ironic getting that I started doing film scores and now I'm the chiptune guy. Anyway, the thing about looping music is, you know, it took me a while to get good at it. I'm pretty comfortable with being able to do it now, but it
The other day, it struck me that it's almost like an M.C. Escher painting. You know how you see like an M.C. Escher painting? It's like a waterfall that just keeps going and a circle keeps going like upstream or whatever.
Right.
That's what a looping song has to do. And that's what I think that's why I know how to do it is from playing so much Final Fantasy. Nobuo Uematsu's brilliant, probably one of the greatest musicians of our generation. But exactly what you're saying is that this it can, you know, it's as short as like a minute that's looping, but it the ideas are presented in such a way that it just. It's fresh every time.
Yeah, yeah. The really interesting thing I discovered, and I didn't realize this until somebody told this to me several years ago, because I always characterized myself as, like, I hate repetitive music.
Sure.
I hate the techno that, like, you know, it's like, okay, you know, we're just going for 10 minutes, right? But then my friend said, well, just because it's repetitive doesn't mean it's bad. And then I just, like, thought about it. I'm like, yeah, you know what? He's effing right. You can have something be repetitive and it just be brilliant enough that you don't get tired of it, or it could be crap either way.
Every rock song in the world is the same idea repeated two or three times, and then, you know, with an intro and outro tacked on. So
I had a fantastic follow-up to this that I wanted to ask, but we're out of time. So
too bad.
It's very important. Maybe, it was going to reference Koji Kondo and a whole thing I saw him talk about at GDC.
I think maybe one day Baranowski needs to come back.
We're gonna stick around for a second. I want to talk to you about this. After the show ends. But I want to thank everyone for listening. If you want to stay tuned next week as well, that would be fantastic. When we're going to have Reverend Anthony Birch of Hope. How they pronounce it? H-A-W-P?
It's Hop.
They pronounce
wrong.
It Hope, dude.
They are wrong.
Search H-A-W-P on YouTube and see all the stuff he does. Hey, Ash, what you playing? And at his request, don't email him or Ash anything that says, hey, Ash, what you something? Because that pisses them off. So anyway, thanks again for listening. Thank you, Danny Baranowski.
Glad
to
be here.
And go to Cannibalt?
Cannibalt.
Cannibalt. We'll be back next week.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.